I would like to turn, brethren, to what is a very familiar portion of Scripture. Not that one expects to bring out anything new, but it's that these things we may lay hold of these things in our hearts, and they become part of our daily life. In Ephesians chapter 1. We've been speaking of grace. And as we go through a few verses here, what with grace we see that God has shown to us. We'll read from verse 1. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Oh, dear ones, we enter into something of the grace that God has shown toward us. I'm sure it will multiply that peace. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in John 14, you might just turn back to it for a moment. John 14, verse 27. The Lord here is about to take leave of his disciples. He is taking leave of them in these chapters. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you. Oh, I like to think of that as the peace of knowing that everything is settled between ourselves and a holy, a righteous God. Oh, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised again for our justification. Dear ones, knowing Christ as Savior, everything is settled between ourselves and a holy and a righteous God. Everything is settled. Our sins no more can rise, for they have been laid on Christ. Christ atoned for them. They're gone, for Christ has gone back to sit at the Father's right hand. To sit in that right hand of glory and power, where sin could never come. Oh, beloved, our sins are gone. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I like to think of that peace as the peace that he knew as he went through this scene in communion with the Father. Beloved, I have to ask my own heart, how much do I know of communion with that Blessed One? Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, ye also may have fellowship with us. Going on together, having common thoughts, fellowship with us, the apostles. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, what it is to go on in communion with that Blessed One. Do we think of him? Are we occupied with him as we go about our daily work? Do thoughts of that Blessed One come into our mind? I've got to ask myself these questions, beloved. If we're occupied with him, he'll form our lives. Yes, my peace I give unto you. Oh, what a peace it is to go on in communion with that Blessed One. Going back to Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Past tense, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Beloved, do you know Christ as Savior? Then He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want you to turn back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1 and we'll read from verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. God is speaking to Joshua. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Now think of that verse of Ephesians. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, here in Joshua 1 and verse 4, I believe we have what answers to that. The whole of their inheritance detailed to them. And so in that Ephesians 1 and 3, we have our inheritance. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, dear ones, how much did the children of Israel enjoy of that blessing? How much did they enjoy? Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. That's what they enjoyed. To this day, they have never enjoyed the extent of their inheritance. Never enjoyed the extent of their inheritance. But dear ones, how much have we enjoyed of all those blessings that Christ has given to us? Look at Joshua chapter 11, verse 23. You know, Joshua in the Old Testament answers to the book of Ephesians. Joshua 11 and verse 23. So Joshua, you know what's remarkable here in this verse? There's no mention made of the army of Israel. So Joshua took the whole land. Joshua is a picture of Christ. Joshua took the whole land, according to all the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Joshua took it all, or won it all for them, and gave it all to them. Christ has won it all for us, and given it all to us. Sovereign grace, why did He do it? He chose to. He loved us. He died for us. He proved His love in His death for us. What He suffered for us. Furthermore, beloved, it was all God's counsel from a past eternity that this would take place. Now look at Joshua chapter 13. Joshua 13 and verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Joshua had won it all. He'd given it all to them. They had never had the energy to go in and possess what Joshua had won for them and given to them. Beloved, how much energy have we got to delve into this precious book and learn what Christ has won for us and given to us? Oh, beloved, how little. Speaking for myself, how little we enter into. It's all ours. We have everything now, I believe, we will have in the glory. We can enjoy it all now by faith. Dear one, how much do we enjoy? Oh, then, the old nature gone, the hindrances removed. Then the Spirit of God will unhinderedly take of the things of Christ and show them unto us. But now we hinder the Spirit of God ministering Christ to us because of our weakness, our failure. Beloved, let us, shall we say, spend more time in His presence, that our hearts might be drawn out to that Blessed One. We might enjoy more and more and more of what He has given to us. Oh, dear ones, if we enjoyed it more, we would know more of that wondrous grace and that peace. Well, we'll go back to Ephesians 1. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Beloved, the church is before the world. We have nothing to do with this world except to pass through it. Except to pass through it. You know, we have a verse in Numbers. I'll have to take a moment to look for the book of Numbers. 20 and 17, yes. Thank you. I will just go back to 14 to pick up the name of the place. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Verse 17 then. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards. Neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. Edom said unto him, Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, We will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, Thou shalt not go through. Is this our attitude in passing through this world? Simply to pass through on our feet? Providing things honest in the sight of all men, but passing onward to our home in glory. Have we got our sights set on that home in glory? That is our home. That is our country. That is where our citizenship is, there in glory with Christ. Dear ones, are we pressing on to that home? Or are we seeking to make this world a pleasant place to live in? Oh, we may well ask our hearts, and I have to ask my own heart. Does Christ mean everything? Are we attracted by that home in the glory? I remember our dear brother Albert Hale, now with the Lord, giving a little illustration, if you want to call it that. Caleb was one of the ones that went into the land to spy it out. And he and Joshua were the only ones that brought up a true report of the land. And he said he could picture Caleb in his tent of an evening. And his family saying, Oh, Dad, it's so hot. And it seems so long. We're weary. So on. And Caleb would reply, You just wait till you see Hebron, and you'll say it was worth it all. Oh, beloved one, moment of the glory, and we'll never think of things down here again. Oh, that our hearts might be enraptured by that coming scene of glory when we're there with Christ, with the one that died for us, dear ones. That we may indeed have Him as our object and not things down here. Well, according as He hath chosen us in Christ chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Yes, we are not of the world, we're before the world. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Think of God, the Father, desiring to have us there in glory as His family, exhibiting His characteristics, holy and without blame. Yes, dear ones, God is going to have us there in glory as His family, and He will take pleasure in us. How parents can take pleasure in a child that is going on well. What joy it gives their hearts. Dear ones, God is going to have pleasure in you and me there in that scene of glory as we reflect His own likeness. This was His purpose from a past eternity. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us, marked us out beforehand unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Yes, He's going to have us there, His adopted children, His family, there in glory. But oh, beloved, as we get later on in the chapter, not only are we there as part of that family, one of those families of God, beloved, we're there as the bride of Christ. No closer relationship could we be brought into than that to which God has purposed us in Christ. According to the good pleasure of His will. According to the good pleasure of His will. He chose to bless us in this way. Sovereign grace. Yes, sovereign grace on the part of God has brought us into such position of blessing. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted in that one in whom was all His delight. Yes, dear ones, accepted in that blessed one. That one who is the object of the Father's affections, the center of all the Father's plans. We are accepted in the beloved. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Yes, beloved, we have redemption through His blood. God devised that plan. Oh, let us turn again. Well, there's three scriptures we can turn to. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Oh, beloved, God was thinking of you and thinking of me before the world began. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Now one last passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that was manifest in these last times for you. All in God's purposes before the foundation of the world. But this verse in Peter, dear ones, God had foreseen the need of Calvary. The cost of Calvary had been weighed. Christ chosen, foreordained as the Lamb of God. Then God commenced the work of creation. Sin came as no surprise. No, God purposed to have redeemed sinners there in glory, the bride of His Son. Beloved, He purposed to have redeemed sinners. Oh, it's such a cost, He alone knows. I do not believe we can fathom what it cost Christ, who was sinless. In Him was no sin, who did no sin. He was holy. Beloved, what it cost that blessed Holy One to be made sin. We cannot enter into it. Well, going back to Ephesians 1, verse 8. Wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence or intelligence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Think of it. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, His purposes, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. God is here making known to us His counsel, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. God is here making known to us His counsels from a past eternity. Now what are these counsels? That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Christ must be head over all things. In all things He must have the preeminence. Again, may I ask, does He have the preeminence in your life, in mine? Does He have the first place? Is there anything that would divide our hearts with Him? Oh, that little hymn says, have I an object, Lord, below, which would divide my heart with Thee. Christ wants your whole heart's affection, not a divided affection. Not partly affection for Him and partly affection for something else. No, dear ones, He must have it all. He is worthy of it all. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. God's primary purpose is the exaltation of His Son. He must be over all things. But then it adds, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Yes, we have obtained an inheritance. Oh, beloved, all that Christ has won as man, He's going to share with you and with me. A little illustration was given once. This is not original with me at all. A man had built a beautiful mansion, and he took his friend to see this house that he had built. And the friend duly admired it, and then he said, move in. Oh, he says, I'm not going to move in until I have my bride. I won't move in until I have my bride, and we'll share it together. Dear ones, Christ will not take the inheritance until He can share it with His bride. Just turn over the page. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding or of your heart being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Just want to look at one verse, I believe it's Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. Yes, God is going to enjoy that earthly inheritance in His people. He will yet enjoy that earthly inheritance in that nation of Israel. But all beloved, hear. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He's going to share all that inheritance with you and with me. He won it all that He might share it with us. Oh, that we might meditate a little on that wondrous sovereign grace of God. That grace that He has shown toward us. Nothing in us whatsoever to merit that grace. He just chose to do it from a past eternity. This was His purpose. He purposed us for blessing in Christ. Oh, dear ones, may we enter into it. Meditate upon it. Enjoy it. So that our hearts might be drawn out more and more and more to that blessed life.